Tonight, as we come on the air, the key meeting at the CDC underway. All of this with the FDA decision on boosters for millions of Americans expected at any moment. The FDA could greenlight a third Pfizer shot for adults 65 and older and those at high risk of COVID. At the same time, a CDC advisory panel also meeting to decide who should get those boosters first and how quickly. Tonight, authorities say those first Pfizer boosters could possibly be ready to go by the end of this week. Steve Osunsami with late reporting. He's at the CDC. Also tonight, the new images coming in the urgent police search for Brian Laundrie. Divers and drones now called in searching 25,000 acres of swampland. A person of interest in the case of Gabby Petito and what we're now learning. The deadly drive-by shooting while students were waiting for the bus to go to school. One student did not survive. Police in Louisville calling the scene, quote, horrifying and devastating. This scene along the southern border tonight, Texas Governor Greg Abbott using state-owned vehicles to create what he's calling a steel barrier with the migrant crisis on the border. And there is news tonight involving some of those Border Patrol agents seen on horseback confronting migrants. The crucial meetings at the White House. Will President Biden be able to unite Democrats behind his sweeping infrastructure and spending plans? Cecilia Vega tonight with what Speaker Pelosi said today about whether this will happen. Overseas tonight, our reporter and what he witnessed. The lava destroying hundreds of homes, forcing mass evacuations tonight. James Longman on the scene. Here at home, we're tracking severe storms from Detroit all the way to the Northeast. Heavy rain, wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour. And the tornado watch as we come on in parts of Pennsylvania. Tonight, co-stars and fans paying tribute to actor Willie Garson, best known for his role on Sex and the City. And America Strong tonight, the oldest park ranger in America. And she has just turned 100.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin with those key decisions that will affect millions of Americans on booster shots, who will get them first, and how soon. Tonight, the FDA is expected to authorize these boosters anytime now. The CDC then set to lay out the guidelines. This would be for those who got the Pfizer vaccine because Pfizer applied for authorization first. Decisions on Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters could come within weeks. An FDA advisory committee already saying Pfizer could move forward for Americans 65 and older and for those who are at high risk. So now we await official green lighting from the FDA. And of course, the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, will likely follow with guidance as we move forward into this next phase of protecting Americans before the winter months. And all of this comes amid new evidence tonight of the toll involving the unvaccinated. New numbers that show in states with the fewest people vaccinated, death rates are 4 times higher than in states with the highest number of vaccinations. And tonight here, what are the forecast models that the CDC looks at and what it shows here in the U.S. in this pandemic by next spring? ABC's Steve Osunsami leading us off with late reporting from the CDC in Atlanta.
The FDA is expected to say yes tonight to the Pfizer booster shots, which means that many Americans who've already gotten 2 shots of the Pfizer vaccine could get a third as early as Friday.
It's a reasonable decision to provide a third dose to people for whom it appears that immunity is waning and severe infection is an increasing risk in the age of Delta.
At the CDC, they're still debating tonight who all should be getting the extra shot, focusing on people who are 65 and older or who have health conditions that put them at greater risk to COVID, or frontline workers like nurses or grocery store workers. The shots are already making a difference. Our medical team has found that in states where the fewest people are vaccinated, the death rates are nearly 4 times higher than in states that lead the country in vaccinations. Health officials now believe that an extra dose will eventually become the new standard.
At the end of the day, I believe the correct regimen is going to be 2 doses at first, and a few months later, a third dose. For J&J, it'll be the first dose, followed a few months later by the second dose.
Americans who've gotten the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines will have to wait at least a few weeks for approval from the federal government on boosters. But already, 2 million Americans with compromised immune systems have been cleared to get a third shot from Pfizer. 34-year-old Allison Rogers has Crohn's disease. She got her extra shot in Portland.
I wouldn't be too hesitant about it, especially if you've already gotten the second one. The third one is kind of a breeze. I got it on a Saturday, and by Monday, I was back at work.
All this planning for millions of booster shots for Americans have people around the world looking sideways at drug makers, wondering why they're not sharing their formulas with manufacturers and countries where there isn't enough vaccine to go around. On a virtual COVID summit today with the United Nations, President Biden announced that the U.S. is now agreeing to buy another 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine for the rest of the world, for a total of 1.1 billion doses that America is giving to people overseas.
For every one shot we've administered to date in America, we have now committed to do three shots to the rest of the world.
All right, so let's get right to Steve Ozenzami. He's live at the CDC tonight. And Steve, as we await official word now from the FDA and then from the CDC on this first round of boosters for Americans, there was something else today that you brought to our attention, and this was somewhat encouraging. It's just one of the forecast models the CDC looks at. Tell us more about what it shows potentially by spring. And of course, we all know there are many variables here.
David, researchers are out with a new forecast model that they say looks hopeful. It shows that the number of cases and deaths are likely to keep falling through the spring as long as we don't see another outbreak of a dangerous variant.
David? Steve Ozenzami in Atlanta tonight. Steve, thank you. We're going to turn next year to the search for that person of interest, Brian Laundrie. That search intensifying tonight after the death of Gabby Petito, now ruled a homicide. Divers have now been called in, drones too, in the search in that alligator-infested nature reserve. They are now using high-water vehicles since much of that area is covered waist-deep in water. ABC's Trevor Ault from Florida tonight.
Tonight, new images of the intense search for Brian Laundrie. Authorities bringing in a specialized dive team to search the 25,000-acre reserve, an area twice the size of Manhattan, alongside their ATVs, drones, and canine units. 75% of the area underwater.
We are trying to cover every acre. Our law enforcement partners, they're motivated and they're hungry.
And the public reporting thousands of tips, with rumors Brian had been captured overnight proving false.
Callers advising that a civilian possibly sees Brian Laundrie.
And today, Okaloosa County officials reporting they've identified the man from this trail cam image, and it's not Brian Laundrie. Neighbors say they last saw Brian back at home days before Gabby was reported missing, despite the FBI raiding the Laundrie home Monday and the coroner saying Gabby's death is a homicide. Brian remains a person of interest, not a suspect.
They have a dead body, and they have him driving the car. Her car away from the scene, all the way from out west to Florida. To me, that's probable cause.
And officials in Utah releasing a new witness statement from an altercation between the couple last month where police were called in. It reads in part, "I think the male took the female's phone. It appeared that he didn't want her in the white van," adding, "From my point of view, something definitely didn't seem right."
Crews are now wrapping up their search for the night here in Florida. And David, if the authorities charge Brian in Gabby's death, that would make him a fugitive. And anybody who may be helping him evade authorities would then be committing a crime themselves. But without a charge, Brian is free to run. And other people, in theory, can legally help him hide. David?
Trevor Ault, live for us again in Florida tonight. Trevor, thank you. We are learning more this evening after a deadly shooting at a school bus stop in Louisville, Kentucky, while students were waiting for the bus to go to school. Part of an alarming rise in gun violence across the country. A 16-year-old boy was killed in this case, two others injured. Tonight, police are asking for the public's help. And here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, now.
It was a routine morning as parents sent their teenage children to a bus stop in Louisville. Then,
they're now advising you there's going to be a shooting. It was at the bus stop where multiple children were waiting for the bus.
Just after 6:30 a.m., a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old boy shot before heading to Eastern High School. The 16-year-old, who has not been identified, died.
That sacred space was violated this rainy Wednesday morning by gunfire. And a teen who should be in school today will not be there and will never be there again.
Police say it was a drive-by shooting. Suspect still at large.
A vehicle drove by and fired shots into the group of kids, striking two of the children by gunfire.
Authorities releasing the image of this gray Jeep they're looking for, as the city and the neighborhood are traumatized.
I had to hold a little boy's wound today and tell him he's going to be okay.
The scene in Louisville is one playing out across the country as the nation is still in the midst of a massive surge in gun violence that has continued over 3 years. So far this year, a staggering 43,644 people shot, compared to 40,000 over the same time frame last year.
David, the Louisville police chief said today that she has surged officers and targeted repeat offenders, but that she is frustrated by the availability of guns and judges that she believes are too lenient against suspects illegally carrying firearms. David?
Our chief justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, with us. Thank you, Pierre. There are new images coming in tonight amid the surge of migrants at the border in Texas. The governor there putting in place what he calls a steel barrier, a fleet of state-owned vehicles meant to send a message to migrants. And tonight there is news on some Border Patrol agents seen in those images the White House called horrific. ABC's Kenneth Moten from Texas tonight.
Tonight, this so-called steel barrier of vehicles, Texas state troopers lining the Del Rio, Texas border as federal authorities try to stop the migrant surge.
Today, are we seeing migrants crossing back and forth here in Del Rio?
Very minimal here.
A big difference here today compared to the weekend when we saw more than 13,000 migrants in this encampment. As migrants leave, others taking their materials to fortify their shelters. Still here, roughly 5,000 migrants, mostly Haitian, mostly families with small children. The Biden administration facing tough criticism over its handling of the crisis, even from Democrats.
The Biden administration must immediately and indefinitely halt all deportations of Haitian migrants.
Tonight, some migrants now being sent to Houston and other cities as they seek asylum, many staying with families and sponsors. Our Cecilia Vega pressing the White House today, hours after the DHS secretary once again declined to give specific migrant numbers to lawmakers.
Do you have the numbers? How many Haitians have been deported? How many have been processed? And how many have been allowed to stay in the United States?
I certainly understand why you're asking and understand why people have been asking Secretary Mayorkas. Those are numbers that are the Department of Homeland Security would have the most up-to-date. No!
And tonight, amid outrage, DHS saying the mounted Border Patrol agents seen aggressively trying to stop migrants from entering Texas have now been placed on administrative duties and will have no contact with migrants pending the outcome of that ongoing investigation.
And Kenneth Moten with us from Texas again tonight. And Ken, we saw Cecilia press the White House there today for numbers, and officials late today have now released some numbers tonight on the number of migrants now returned to Haiti.
David, as we push for numbers, the Department of Homeland Security says since Sunday, more than 1,000 migrants have been flown back to Haiti, and those flights will continue. David?
Ken Moten in Texas again tonight. Thank you, Kenneth. Now to the crucial meetings at the White House today, and the big question, will President Biden be able to unite Democrats, progressives, and moderates to get them behind his sweeping infrastructure and spending plans? There are two tracks here, the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan and what Democrats are calling the $3.5 trillion human infrastructure plan, including paid leave and early education. Speaker Pelosi has said along the way that that bigger plan must get passed first in the House, then they would take up the bipartisan bill. Is that still the plan? Can they get all Democrats on board? I want to bring in our chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega, tonight. And Cecilia, you saw this as well. Here's what Speaker Pelosi said today when she was asked, is this all still on track?
We are on schedule. That's all I will say.
Thank you, Mayor.
And we're calm, and everybody's good, and our work's almost done. So we're in good shape.
All right. Cecilia, Speaker Pelosi appearing confident there, but she's got to bring together progressives, moderate Democrats, a very slim majority, of course, in the House, that majority even tighter in the Senate.
David, there are so many different factions right now that the president has spent much of his day meeting with all of these different groups separately. In fact, he's still in one of those meetings right now. You mentioned it, nearly two dozen Democrats and all liberals, moderates, party leaders. They were all here today at issue that infrastructure plan, the bipartisan $1 trillion one to improve roads and highways, traditional infrastructure, and the $3.5 trillion plan to cover these social programs like child care and fighting climate change. Moderates, they are balking at that huge price tag. Progressives say it is all or nothing. They want to get these social programs covered while the White House, they've got control of the White House and minimal control of Congress, but the clock is ticking. Speaker Pelosi has promised moderates that there would be a vote on that traditional infrastructure plan as early as Monday. And David, the bottom line right now, this is a key part of President Biden's agenda, and unless these Democrats come to an agreement, it is at risk of collapsing.
Cecilia Vega with late reporting from the White House. Thank you as always. We're going to turn overseas tonight into that slow motion disaster after that volcanic eruption on La Palma in the Canary Islands. Tonight, the pictures again here, the river of lava pouring toward the sea. This is the fourth day now, threatening to destroy a key village, forcing 7,000 people from their homes. Firefighters could do nothing to save this building from flames. The scene repeated over and over again. And ABC's James Longman in La Palma again tonight.
Tonight, the 40-foot wall of lava threatening to incinerate a Spanish village. 1,800-degree molten rock swallowing everything it touches on its seemingly unstoppable march through Spain's La Palma Island.
This is as close as we've been able to get to the volcano, and the thing that really strikes you is the noise. Just listen to that.
The true scale becoming clearer, lava shooting hundreds of feet up. I could even feel its heat.
When the volcano first erupted over the weekend, authorities sprang into action and it felt like things were under control. But as new fissures have opened up, lava has spread more widely and this situation feels more and more unpredictable.
Firefighters are working to divert this monster any way they can.
It's complicated. It's very complicated. And now we try with heavy machines.
They're digging trenches and building walls of earth to try and keep it away from homes. Already 400 buildings have been destroyed and more are in harm's way. Rosavira's Lorenzo was given 15 minutes to evacuate her home. Her neighbor, Ana San Juan, took her in. Now they both wait to see if the lava will come their way. She tells me it's all our work, effort, money of our lives, my life, my partner's life, a family, and you just don't know if you can lose it in an instant.
So James Longman back with us tonight from La Palma, and right there behind James, again, the volcano, the lava, I know, about a mile and a half from the coastline now, and you were reporting crews now face that incredible challenge trying to sort of direct the lava to keep it away from destroying more towns and more homes.
Yeah, that's right, David. And the ash is really coming down now. And actually, since I spoke to you last night, a new wall of lava has appeared right behind us, just in front of a roadway there. It's coming down onto the road. That is exactly what officials here are trying to battle, to keep homes away from this endless stream of lava. David?
James Longman, our thanks to you and the team again tonight. Back here at home, one more note from Washington tonight. After months of talks, bipartisan police reform talks have now ended. Without a deal. Major sticking points, restrictions on deadly use of force, how officers should be prosecuted, and on no-knock warrants. There were also divisions among police unions who were consulted during the talks. President Biden tonight expressing disappointment and saying he would look for a path forward, including, quote, potential executive actions. When we come back here tonight, we are tracking severe storms at this hour from Detroit all the way to the Northeast, the tornado watch in parts of Pennsylvania, and they're talking about winds potentially up to 70 miles per hour in some spots.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Tonight, we are tracking those severe storms at this hour, including a tornado watch for parts of Pennsylvania. Heavy rain moving from Detroit to the Northeast overnight and tomorrow. Waves on Lake Michigan could reach 18 feet. Flash flood watches in effect for 11 states tonight, from Michigan to New Jersey. Forecasters say tornadoes possible in Pittsburgh and Erie through late tonight. Wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour. Tonight, co-stars and fans paying tribute to actor Willie Garson.
The sets, the costumes, it's so romantic.
You only like it because she gets to sleep for 100 years and she doesn't age.
Best known for his role in Sex and the City, later on White Collar, he'd been battling cancer. His last tweet, be kind to each other always, love to all, approach kindness. Willie Garson was 57. Finally tonight here, the park ranger, most definitely America Strong. Tonight, Betty Reed Soskin and a milestone. She's from Richmond, California, and already the oldest park ranger in America. Tonight, she has turned 100. Betty, born in Detroit in 1921, she says she still has a lot of work to do. Her uniform, her ranger hat on, at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Historical Park, which commemorates the contributions of women during World War II. Betty started there at the age of 85. She shares the stories of women during that time, the stories of black women, what she faced too. Tonight, Betty's community honoring her, naming this middle school after her. Betty cutting the ribbon at the Betty Reed Soskin Middle School. The birthday cake, 100 on top. Little Melanie Armstrong on the right there. She's Betty's great-great-niece. And right here tonight...
Hello, David.
Betty the park ranger at 100.
People need heroes, and I'm maybe one of those. I think it's important that we all follow our passions. We all need passions.
And Betty reminding all of us tonight, it is never too late to know our history.
It is so important that we go back and revisit history as it was lived in order to get a baseline against which to measure how far we've come.
Happy 100th birthday, Betty. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.